Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Aesthetic Insider Radio Show. This is your host, Angela O'Mara. Aesthetic Insider is a 360-degree aesthetic medical industry news source. Today we're going to be speaking with Dr. Marcel Daniels, a plastic surgeon from Long Beach, California, and we'll be discussing the best options for cosmetic breast surgery. Dr. Daniels, welcome to Aesthetic Insider.
Thank you very much, Angela.
So Dr. Daniels, or Dr. D, as I like to call you, you know, we're located out here in California. Many of our listeners are across the country, but I do, you know, understand that breast augmentation surgery is just as popular nationwide as it is here in California. And so, you know, what would you say for a patient listening to the show? What are the best options currently available for a patient who is considering any kind of breast surgery?
Well, what I will say is, obviously, since the economy has improved, more people are turning towards improving themselves, and we've certainly seen a surge in women desiring to enhance their breasts. A lot has been made about implants and implant choices, and the reality of it is, you can make a very attractive-looking breast with a variety of implants. I think the real key is finding an experienced breast surgeon who's going to analyze each patient individually and make recommendations based on that patient's anatomy. Currently, in the United States, there are three implant manufacturers, Allergan, Mentor, and Sientra, and they all make a wide variety of styles of implants. There are round implants, there are shaped implants, there are smooth implants, there are textured implants, there are saline implants, and there are silicone gel implants. And depending upon the patient's anatomy and comfort zone, a variety of implants are used all across the country, and some of it's determined by surgeon preference. I think that you can't make a blanket statement that one implant manufacturer makes the only implants that are worth using. I think all three companies make good implants. All three have been FDA approved. There's no definitive study out yet that would clearly demonstrate one company's superiority in terms of implant durability or implant result. You know, all three of these companies are like car companies. You've got Lexus, you've got BMW, and you've got Audi, and all of them are going to try to convince you that their ride is the best. And the reality of it is, I think they all make good products, and, you know, in experienced surgical hands, you can get a good result with all of their products.
Now, let me ask you, because with options for cosmetic breast surgery, some options may not necessarily include an implant. Perhaps a patient needs a breast lift or a breast reduction. You know, can we talk about those a little bit too?
Absolutely. All breast surgery, actually all cosmetic surgery, involves some degree of trade-off. When it comes to breast augmentation, the trade-off is the fact that there will have to be an incision through which the implant is inserted, and of course, the fact that implants are not one-time devices, that they need to be replaced, and there are potential complications related to using a prosthetic. Then at the other end of the spectrum, that's women that want to be bigger. Then you have big women that want to be smaller. Those would be women seeking a breast reduction. Breast reduction patients, their trade-off, of course, is going to be there's going to be more of a scar for a breast reduction. The typical scar for a breast reduction is around the nipple and down the front of the breast, and more often than not, also in the crease. So these patients need to be educated on the trade-off for them, but most of them are so delighted to have smaller breasts that are easier to fit into outfits, easier to be active with, that they don't mind that degree of a trade-off. And then in between, you've got the patients that are probably big enough, don't really want to be any bigger, don't want to be any smaller, but whose breasts, unfortunately, are pointing towards their shoes. And those would be the lift. Those would be the lift patients. And those are ones that they share a similar trade-off with the breast reduction patients in terms of the scar. There's usually a scar around the nipple and down the front of the breast and often in the crease. Some of those patients, in order to achieve a little bit more superior fullness, have that operation, the lifting operation, combined with an implant. And certainly there's a lot of, not controversy, but differing opinions on what's the safest way of combining a lift with an implant. And I think that also is a link to surgeon preference and surgeon comfort zone. I think that with a small implant, the two operations can be performed simultaneously without much increased complication rate. But for patients that are desiring a pretty significant implant put in, I caution them that it's probably safest to do it in two stages, putting in the implant and letting everything stretch out, and then snugging things up over the implant. What the patients need to understand is lifting and increasing in terms of augmenting are operations that are essentially working against each other. The lifting surgery is trying to tighten things up, and the augmentation surgery is trying to stretch things out. And sometimes compromises have to be made, and sometimes those compromises result in a less than aesthetically great result.
Well, these are like great things for patients to know. Do you have advice to, you know, a woman who was considering some form of cosmetic breast surgery? What would be, you know, the top things that she should look for in a surgeon, or the right questions that she should ask?
The right questions would be, the top things you should look for, obviously, first and foremost, is board certification by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. Membership in the American Society of Plastic Surgeons would be closely following that number one. But I would say that really a big criteria, and especially in breast surgery, is someone who has made breast surgery kind of a focus in their practice. So an experienced breast surgeon is important, I think, to get consistent results. So patients, you know, seeing plastic surgeons should ask the plastic surgeon that, you know, is breast surgery a large part of your scope of practice? Is it a primary focus of your practice? Breast surgery has a reputation of being somewhat straightforward surgery, but the more breasts you do, the more you realize there are some nuances to it. And certainly over the years, I've become much more appreciative of the nuances to it. Unfortunately, among the plastic surgery community, there is some, I don't want to say bad information being passed around, but it seems a lot of surgeons feel that a lot of patients need lifting in combination with implants. But I see a fair amount of patients who've been recommended to have a lift with the implant that, in my experience, really didn't need a lift. So, you know, getting more than one opinion, kind of listening to what the different surgeons are recommending, and then picking the surgeon that makes the most sense to you, I think is also very important for the patients.
And now, what about downtime? I mean, things to consider, too. I mean, we have, you know, summer's fast approaching, and I know a lot of women, you know, do tend to look to bathing suit weather, you know, for when they want to look good at the beach or at the pool. You know, as far as recovery, you know, is there a length of time that you advise patients is necessary?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The reality of it is, for all those women that wanted to look good this summer, they probably should have had surgery in February or March so that they'd have a time to have a very nice, mature result. But in terms of absolute recovery, most patients, that first 3, 4, 5 days after surgery are a little bit on the sore side. It feels pretty tight. The implants look very full up top, unnaturally so. And so it takes them about at least a month, but usually 2 to 3 months for the results to really settle for their feeling really good looking, going out in low-cut outfits. Then again, some patients, their breasts mature a little faster because they've had kids, the skin's a little loose, it relaxes a little quicker. But most patients, at the end of the first month, in terms of activity, in terms of going out, going to the beach, going swimming, being more physically active, they certainly can. But their final really nice aesthetic result may take 3 months, may take up to 6 months in some cases. But most women by 3 months are really getting to where they're going to be.
And now let me ask you, as far as like, you know, we did discuss earlier implant choices, but my understanding, there are still saline implants available to patients and silicone implants. Are doctors still using both types of implants? Do you have a preference for one over the other, or how does that work?
Both implants are still in use. There are some surgeons that exclusively use saline. There are some surgeons that use exclusively silicone. My preferred implant is a silicone implant, so I would probably say I use that about 98% of the time. Saline implants are less forgiving than silicone implants, so I think if a patient has fairly thick tissue, a fair amount of her own breast tissue to camouflage the implant, then saline is certainly a very viable option. Silicone is a more forgiving substance, and so it's definitely a preferred implant in really thin patients who you might worry about seeing the edges of the implant in a saline implant or seeing the rippling that you can sometimes see with a saline implant. So I think, in my practice, ultimately what I do is I explain the pros and the cons of each implant to the patients, and then try to nudge them in the direction of the implant that I think is going to give them the best result. Saline implants were not very popular until the early 90s, when we had the silicone gel crisis, where there was questions about whether these implants were making women sick. And then suddenly no one wanted silicone and everyone wanted saline. And so that led to a big switch. Unfortunately, it took a few years to realize that saline implants weren't a panacea for breast surgery and that they definitely had some limitations. Now, with the newer configurations of silicone gel and the ongoing scientific inquiry that still fails to show that these implants pose any significant health risks, obviously more and more women and surgeons are going back to using silicone gel for its more forgiving nature and for its aesthetically superior result in the majority of patients.
Now, there has been quite a lot of work, I think, on the part of the FDA, you know, with regards to silicone implants and lifting the embargo, which I think had been placed on them back in the 90s. And so, as of today, I mean, is it a general consensus that silicone implants are safe and with limited health risks, or how would you
The general consensus is yes, silicone gel is safe. I mean, the silicone implants were banned in the United States in 1992. Then they were reintroduced on a very restricted level in 1997, I believe. And then I think it was 2006, where after the FDA thoroughly reviewed all the scientific data, that they were re-released for general use, the caveat being you had to be a woman of 22 and older. Apparently, there's some, I don't know why, but they feel that women under the age of 22 are not as equipped to make long-term decisions regarding their bodies. So that's the only restriction placed on the implants from the FDA approval aspect, is that they've been approved for women 22 and up. The subject of disease in women with implants has been extensively studied, and it turns out women with breast implants do get a variety of diseases, including autoimmune diseases or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, but so do women without breast implants, and the numbers are comparable. So it's tough to say if the breast implants really have any role in promoting or causing any disease entities in women. My own personal experience of over 20 years using silicone gel has been overwhelmingly positive. So I don't have much to work with when it comes to saying, well, it's a questionable implant. I think it's a very good implant, and the overwhelming majority of my patients are happy with that.
Now, in your practice, what would you say is the percentage of patients that come to you for breast augmentation? Is it a primary number?
It has become a primary number because it's like I tell all my patients, my breast patients, that I want to make all my patients happy, but I try to make my breast patients a little happier only because my liposuction patients don't tell people they've had liposuction. My facial rejuvenation patients, my eye lift patients, don't tell people they've had that. They just say, oh, no, I'm sleeping better, or I changed my hairstyle. But my breast patients, if they're happy, they not only tell everybody, they show everybody. So breast surgery kind of takes on a snowballing effect where one patient tells others, those tell others, and gradually the majority of consults you seem to be seeing are breast patients.
Well, that's really interesting. And so you have your breast patients are easily to showcase, I mean, not just their results, of course, in the clothing, the attire that they wear, but that they're happy to talk with their girlfriends and family members about the procedure.
They let their girlfriends have a squeeze. They take them into the restroom to show them. I mean, they're not shy about showing off their results.
That's great. That's great. Well, Dr. Daniels, where can our listeners find you? Is there a website, a telephone number they can call?
Yeah, we're in Long Beach, California. Our website is imagemd.com. That's probably the first place that you can go, and all our phone number and how to contact us information is located there.
Well, great. Well, Dr. Daniels, thank you so much for being on Aesthetic Insider. I'd love to have you back on the show again, and perhaps we can chat a little bit further about further best options for cosmetic breast surgery or another subject.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
Great. Well, Dr. D, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for being on Aesthetic Insider.
My pleasure, Angela. You have a wonderful day as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.